Coming up on KUCB News, the Kowalungan tribe is starting a food bank in Unalaska. And the PCR wrapped up its summer races this week with its virtual half marathon. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Thursday, September 10th, 2020. More than 6 million Americans enrolled in food stamps in the first 3 months of the coronavirus pandemic, as parents lost their jobs and children transitioned to at-home learning. The 17% growth in the food stamps program, formerly known as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, is the fastest growth in the program's history, according to the New York Times. In Unalaska, local nonprofit organization USAFE, or Unalaskans Against Sexual Assault and Family Violence, which serves as the community's unofficial food bank, provided more than 184 food boxes to locals between January and June. That's a 27% increase from the same period last year. Now, the Kowalungan tribe is focusing on addressing food insecurity in Unalaska through a CARES Act grant through the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Alicia Richardson, a wellness coordinator at the tribe, says Aleutian Housing Authority was awarded $392,000 in coronavirus relief funding to build a food bank facilitated by the tribe.
You know, obviously, we're all living in the time of COVID-19 in this pandemic, not sure of when some of this will start to really get much better, much less end. And so, nationwide, statewide, and also locally, the need to access food is going up.
Richardson says this is a very large project for the tribe, which is currently located in the old Unalaska building supply structure in the valley. She says the building isn't outfitted to be a food bank, so they will have to retrofit the warehouse, set up electric and heat for multiple fridges and freezers, add shelving and another bathroom, and install multiple sinks to be able to harvest, prepare, and distribute traditional foods. Richardson says the project will be very complementary to the food service USAFE provides, but she says the tribe's vision is to focus on having nutrient-dense foods, including fruits and vegetables, as well as fish, berries, and other plants harvested locally.
Obviously, that's all very important during the COVID-19 pandemic as well, because if people are experiencing food insecurity, they're much more susceptible to the dangers of COVID-19, and also if they are experiencing nutrient insecurity, then that makes them that much more susceptible to being affected negatively by COVID-19.
The tribe also has funding for a delivery vehicle in order to do food deliveries for elders or those who do not have a car. Richardson says with the funding that they received from HUD, they have money for 8 shipments of perishable and non-perishable food.
The funds for these initial shipments will run out in June of 2021. But we are already seeking ways to supplement that food because we don't want this service to stop in June of 2021. We want to continue the service.
Richardson says they don't know how many meals a day the tribe will be able to provide because they haven't yet quantified what the local need is. But she says they expect the need for food to go up locally as the year progresses and hope to operate similar to USAFE.
If you need every meal, like this could be an amount of food for every meal, or it could be an amount of food that you would need to supplement what you are able to procure on your own.
Richardson says they've heard from tribal members recently that their grocery bill has gone up by 25%.
You know, is that going to get any better? Who knows? There's so many unknowns. This pandemic has highlighted so many issues, and food being a huge one, especially here. And I know that in other rural communities off of the road system, you know, there was panic buying and there was, you know, a lot of uncertainty about when were they going to have food? What is the backup plan? Is there a local cache of food somewhere? Like, it can be really concerning. And these are things that we really need to strengthen as a community, you know, food security.
Richardson says the tribe has not yet started retrofitting the building, but hopes to start distributing food in November. The PCR's final summer run, the Bobby Johnson Summer Bay Classic Half Marathon, wrapped up on Monday. The virtual race was held over the span of a month, and participants were asked to submit times and tracking data virtually in order to observe local and statewide COVID-19 health mandates. The race was split into two categories, runners and bikers, and also included a 5K fun run for which results were not tracked. While participation was somewhat lower in this year's race compared to previous years, event coordinator Chris DeGero says the PCR usually sees fewer participants in the Bobby Johnson Classic than in their other events anyway, as it is a long-distance race.
It's one of our least, I guess, attended races, just because it's such a niche race, just purely based on distance. It's half marathon. We don't have many half marathon runners or bikers out here.
A total of 7 participants submitted times and tracking information for the 13.1-mile race. And the fastest runners in both the adult male and female category clocked in at 5 hours and 29 minutes, with the adult male winner coming just 26 seconds ahead of the adult female winner. The fastest biker in the men's masters category, which includes men ages 55 and over, was 1 hour and 50 minutes. And the only other participant in the biking bracket was in the male category, with a time of 1 hour, 2 minutes, and 51 seconds. DeGero says he is unsure what the record time is or who holds it, but he's pretty certain no records were broken this year. In terms of sports events, he says he's in the planning stages of trying to get a youth basketball league up and running, but it's going to be tricky due to social distancing regulations. In the meantime, while the weather is still agreeable, DeGero says it's a great chance to start preparing for next summer's races, especially longer ones like the Bobby Johnson Half Marathon.
Start training now for next year. I think anybody who wants to do it, even if it's just one time, just to say that you've done it, start your training now.
For more information on PCR programming, you can call 581-1297. Again, that's 581-1297. Meanwhile, Alaska's tally of confirmed COVID-19 cases rose by 112 yesterday, bringing the statewide total to 6,915. That includes residents and non-residents who have tested positive for the virus. There have been 249 hospitalizations since the pandemic hit Alaska in March and 42 deaths. And as of yesterday, 103 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in Unalaska. The city reported a UNICE employee tested positive during their mid-quarantine test after arriving in Unalaska on August 25th via charter flight. The city reports the individual is in isolation and is being monitored by staff at Alulik Family and Health Services. According to the city, only 2 cases are currently active. 2,044 people have been tested at the clinic. Meanwhile, Clinic Director Melanie Tura said at a city council meeting on Tuesday that there are approximately 400 test kits on hand at the clinic and that she has requested another 1,000 kits from the state for both the Cepheid and Abbott ID Now testing systems.
A lot of the supplies that we've gotten from the state so far were specifically given to us based on industry needs. The state has now stated that they are diverting their resources to support schools. We're hearing something in the ballpark of 3 tests per student.
Tiara says Unalaska's school district is relatively large, which could help the clinic get more supplies. Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association also has a good supply of test kits on hand, she added.
So we're doing fine for the time being. We've been using 150 to 250 test kits a week. So at this rate, we'll need supplies in another 3 weeks or so.
A federal judge rejected a request seeking to require the Alaska Division of Elections to send absentee ballot applications to every voter. A group of plaintiffs filed the lawsuit after the division sent applications to all voters 65 and older. They asked U.S. District Court Judge Joshua Kindred to require that all voters be mailed the applications. But Kindred denied the request last week. He wrote that the plaintiffs hadn't persuaded him that a preliminary injunction is in the public interest. He also wrote that they hadn't shown that they were likely to prove that limiting the automatic mailing of applications based on voters' age violated the U.S. Constitution. The plaintiffs have appealed the ruling to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. Scott Kendall, the plaintiff's lawyer, says he's disappointed in the ruling.
His decision, we believe, is erroneously based in the idea that you can favor one group of voters over another. His decision seems based in the fact that as long as you don't take away voting rights, you can give special access to any group.
Every Alaska voter household will receive one absentee ballot application in the election pamphlet mailed 3 weeks before the election. But Kendall said this isn't the same as the separately mailed applications mailed earlier this year to those who are 65 or older. That's because the pamphlet doesn't come with a return envelope. Pamphlet recipients might not notice the application, and there's only one application in the pamphlet for every household. Assistant Attorney General Margaret Payton Walsh says the state is pleased with Kindred's ruling. She says the Division of Elections made the decision that it wasn't necessary to send an application to every voter.
Our primary concern is to allow it to focus its capacity on running the elections as best it can, given the additional complexities created by the pandemic.
Peyton Walsh says there are several different ways voters can apply to vote absentee, including online. Having more people apply online will make it easier for the division to process the paper applications. The vet and dentist are in town this week. Aleutian Pet Care will be taking appointments through tomorrow at the Burma Road Chapel. They can be reached by phone at 359-1876. That's 359-1876. Also, Dutch Harbor Dental is taking appointments through Monday. Dr. Nathan Faber and his team can be reached at 581-3828. Again, that number is 581-3828. They are also scheduled to return to the island in October and December. For more information, visit our community calendar at kucb.org. And stay tuned for an episode of Foggy Island Discs, where we ask Unalaskans what five songs they'd choose if they were stranded on a Bering Sea island. Today, we're hearing from James Gregory. That's up after the Yunungan Word of the Week and NPR News. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.